How did tacos and tequila night? Is that what it was? How did that go?
Brandon. Oh my god. Okay, so there's a local pub near my friend's place that does taco and tequila Tuesdays. So it's $3 tacos.
Ooh.
And $8 double margaritas.
Oh no.
Yeah. And it's not like lame blendy bullshit. Like, we're talking like really good margaritas.
Oh man. And
I'm gonna try to make these at home.
So are we gonna get a Smashley appearance on this episode of the podcast?
No.
So the Tigers won.
I've been out drinking tequila and eating tacos. I was getting some of the updates though, so
yeah, they came back. Dustin Peterson got his first major league hit, and it was a double to the wall off Aroldis Chapman to score a run. Pretty cool.
Oh,
yep.
So those like discussions we had ahead of the game where we were like, "Why is Justin Peterson in this game?" are kind of looking a little silly right now.
Yeah, Nico Goodrum did draw the walk though, and we, you know, mostly I was just like, "Don't take Nico Goodrum out of the damn offense. Like, what are you doing?" He's like, "We don't have too much else, buddy, buddy boy." I'm ready to put Nico in leading off. Him or...
I love Nico. What was it, the poll that Chris sent out earlier today? It was like, look at these numbers and tell me who they belong to. I can't believe I got that right on the first guess.
Yep.
And then B, can't believe how good he's been to start this season.
Yeah, for sure. It was the speed. That's what threw me. I was like, really? He's like at the top of the speed list? Like, maybe he should be the starting center fielder. I don't know.
That doesn't surprise me, though. He's got some kick to him. And like I said earlier in the chat, too, I'm like, it's not like Matuk's doing us a ton of good there anyway. At least not when you look at his offense. Like, there's not enough there to balance it out. He's fine and serviceable in center field, but
yeah,
I'd be interested to see if we could put Nico out there full time.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, why the hell not, I guess, for the time being, until we get some Jacoby action. Some hot Jacoby action back in our lives.
Well, it's apparently, they were saying today, I think Gardy was telling the press that it seems pretty likely that both Jacoby and Drew Verhagen will be doing stints in Toledo before they make their way back up to the majors.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's going to be a while, basically.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a delay there, so no direct path back to Detroit. There will be... So you Toledo fans will be in luck. You'll get to see a little bit of Jacoby action before the fans in Detroit do.
Yep, and the season will be starting up down there pretty soon. Okay, I got to do the intro though now.
Intro.
Yeah,
the intro.
I know. I'm just talking. All right, welcome back, everyone. This is the Bless You Boys podcast. BlessYouBoys.com is your home for all things Detroit Tigers baseball on the SB Nation platform. I'm your host Brandon Day. With me, my co-host Ashley McLennan. Ashley, how's it going?
It's delightful. How are you, sir?
I am pretty well, although I did not get to indulge in Taco Tuesday, which makes me sad.
Everybody should get Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, I kind of failed.
I am a happy, happy woman right now.
Some tacos will do you right. It's true. Yeah.
I have no complaints about my
life. Yep.
Taco belly, Tigers win, living life right.
Yeah, and even better, a Tigers win over Aroldis Chapman and the hated Yankees. Those always feel good, and they don't come that often. So, yeah, that was a fun one for sure. I didn't get to see hardly any of it. I just got home from work a little while ago, but so it goes. We're working our way into our coverage, you know.
Baby steps.
Yeah, this is the time of the season where everybody's super gung-ho, too, so it's, like, good to, like, get all the kind of newer people out there, you know, writing their first recap and everybody kind of getting into the flow, so that was good. We had a whole team on hand on the site, and, yeah. We were kind of, I don't know about you, but I was kind of complaining about Dustin Peterson playing center field instead of Nico Goodrum, but it turns out I was wrong.
You had to eat your words.
Yeah, I will happily eat those words. Yep, Dustin Peterson came through with his first major league hit, which was a screaming double to the wall and left off of Aroldis Chapman, off a fastball to drive in Nico Goodrum, who did come in to pinch hit for Kristen Stewart and drew a walk, which was still playing his part. So, yeah. Yeah, pretty good. I don't know, this team kind of can't hit so far, and it's been somewhat infuriating, and people are losing their minds already for no reason, and because we had no expectations, I'm not sure.
I was going to say, but, I'm like, how can you be mad when the expectations going in were so low?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you got to learn to compartmentalize these things and just enjoy the moments, baby. That's all.
Just have fun with it. Watch Nico be amazing and lead in all categories and enjoy your life.
Yep.
Have some tacos.
Yep, eat some tacos. Enjoy a fine double margarita.
Have a margarita. Eat some delicious vegetarian tacos. I'm not a vegetarian, but vegetarian tacos are delightful.
Do you want to plug the restaurant you were just at?
I can actually use a chain, so it might actually be available other places. I was eating at a place called Leopold's.
Oh, okay.
Leopold's Tavern in Winnipeg. Apparently it's at least across Canada, but if you have one near you and they do a taco and tequila too, Tuesday, oh boyfriends, I recommend.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yep. So I don't know. You know, I was just taking a look down like the Fangraphs like team leaderboards and such, and the Tigers, as you might expect, are last offensively among all 30 teams, which is kind of a grim start. But we are eighth in total pitching. Oh no, I'm sorry, ninth. But that's still pretty good.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, and that's actually before tonight. Yeah. Shane Green's got a pair of saves. Jordan Zimmerman's got a pair of, like, kind of strangely dominant outings.
I mean, I'm almost ready to say, I mean, it's two starts. It's too soon to say. But we have been accused of being too negative. So I am going to take a positive spin. And I'm going to say that I feel like Jordan Zimmerman's looking a little bit different this year in a very good way.
Yeah. You know, and maybe it's just, you know, just being healthy. You know, we didn't hear too much about the neck this offseason or him having to get the shots and kind of go through all that. It sounded like maybe they've kind of got it to a point where it's a little bit more manageable. And I don't know, when he's been healthy, he's actually been pretty good. I mean, it's hard to remember it, but there have been a lot of really good Jordan Zimmerman starts for the Tigers, just not throughout a season yet. So, he does kind of have this knack, though, it seems like, for coming out the first couple games when he's feeling good and, like, dominating in April and looking awesome, and then it all goes to hell. So, there's plenty of time for that, but for now, we'll just enjoy it.
Let's dampen the optimism right back down again.
Yeah, that's right. Like to keep things in that nice, even middle, you know, little compartments. Like, oh, how's this reliever doing? How's that hitter doing? Rather than, like, oh, the offense. And, yeah. Yeah, I mean, It's just one of those things where I'm always happy to see the passion, but like people are upset and stuff, but you know, the team isn't expected to do anything and it's so early and it's just like, yeah, it's hard to get mad even when, God, the offense looked bad against Toronto. It was miserable.
Oh, it was gross.
I mean, actually, like the Tigers were a diving Aaron Judge play, on Monday night from possibly being up 2-0 in the series. You know, they would have had to come back and complete the rally there, but Nico Goodrum laced what looked like a double that Aaron Judge dove for, and if he had missed it, it was going to the wall for a triple probably, would have scored two runs, but Mr. Judge, giant mammal that he is more agile than people give him credit for and made a heck of a play. Like, man, that guy. I can't help but like that guy.
He can move very impressively for somebody with such a large body.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got, like, a certain dexterity. It's not just, like, that when he gets going, he's got long strides and stuff, but yeah, he's got pretty good body control, too. He's quite an athlete. Quite a specimen, as they say.
You know what? That's the thing, right? Like, it's very hard to dislike Aaron Judge. There's nothing about him to hate, except that he plays for the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They actually don't have that many hateable players right now, other than Gary Sanchez. And Aroldis Chapman, obviously.
Yes.
But beyond that, yeah, not too many. We saw one of their rookies, Domingo, I think it's Herman, or I don't think it's German, but you never know. Pitched on Monday. He was kind of effectively wild, but yeah, I don't know, their amazing, much vaunted bullpen has looked like solid but not particularly great so far. So, but it is early. The Blue Jays starting pitching I actually thought looked pretty damn good as well. And we seemed, it was like we saw Joe Biagini like every single day in that series.
Joe Biagini's name is probably my favorite to say in all of baseball.
Who is that? Is it Victoria on Twitter whose hair is certified cute by Joe Biagini?
Yes.
That always stood out to me. That made me laugh.
Yes.
She does have cute red hair. She's very cute. But yeah, that was kind of like my only experience of Joe Biagini until that series. So
it's just a fun name.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were talking about this before we kind of got on the air, in that Nico Goodrum hasn't really done all that much, but has been very close to doing a lot of things. Has been hitting the crap out of the ball and running the bases really well. And our buddy Chris Brown, who does the Tigers SRD podcast and the Locked On Tigers podcast and writes for 24/7 Sports, which used to be Tigstown. Chris has almost as many titles as you do now. God. But he tweeted something out.
I have to start doing something else just to top him.
Got
to
branch out. But yeah, he kind of tweeted out like a random player's stats, you know, based on StatCast this morning, and they all looked amazing. And asked who it was, and I was kind of like, my first thought was Nick, but yeah, it was Nico Goodrum, like ranking away up at the top in sprint speed in exit velocity, in like expected wOBA and batting average. Looking pretty good, the Nico man.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed.
Yep, he's a fun guy to root for, and seems to be turning himself into a pretty darn useful player. Would you prefer to see Nico Goodrum in center field for a while, or do you kind of just are you just good sort of rotating
No, you know
Mikey,
what? I
Dustin?
would like to see that. I very from the very beginning was very excited about the prospect of Nico Goodrum as an everyday player. And I thought it would be at second base until they got Harrison in. And I would be fine with trying that experiment in the field. I think anything that gives us an opportunity to see him play every day is a benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, he doesn't necessarily need to play center field, but having Nico Goodrum DH when you have Miguel Cabrera, Kristen Stewart, and Nick Castellanos on the field is just weird. It's just weird. Like, put him out there somewhere. Like, get some use out of him. He's way faster than any of those three. I know he's, doesn't necessarily have great hands, but if you can play second base and you can run, I would assume you can figure out some corner outfield at least, if not center field. So, yeah, I'd like to see that a lot more as well. We don't have anything to play for this year other than developing these guys, so why not give Nico every chance in the world to try to turn himself into an everyday player somewhere in the outfield, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's easy to root for. Nick Castellanos has been pretty good so far. He's kind of been the most consistent hitter, at least. Jamer Candelario kind of got off to a rough start and then had a 5-hit day against the Blue Jays in the last game of that series and was just raking and has pretty much continued on against the Yankees. So he's looked like he's come around. We did have an article, I think it was Jeff Roberts, put that up about why Jamer should be leading off instead of Josh Harrison. Would you be in favor of that as well? Because I certainly would be. I don't really see the point of
Yeah,
having Harrison at leading off.
I'm also would not be mad at the idea of Nico leading off, given his ability to get on base.
Yeah, he draws he draws more walks than Harrison does, both him and Candelario. The weird thing about like leading off is that you always want that fast guy, but then they never let anybody steal because you've got Nick Castellanos and Miguel Cabrera coming up. So, yeah, why waste Josh Harrison, who's maybe the best base stealer other than Nico and Jacoby? Like, why waste him there? Just put him at the back of the lineup with his boy Jordy Mercer and, let them kind of be the second leadoff hitters as we get to
Yeah,
the end of the lineup.
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Guardy. There's your advice for the day.
Listen to the experts,
Yeah,
jeez.
come on. Did you get a chance to see Spencer Turnbull's first start?
I did not see all of it. I saw some highlights, not enough to give myself an educated assessment of it, though.
Yeah, it was a pretty Spencer Turnbullish kind of start where he looks awesome for a couple innings and the stuff is ridiculously good and you're like, oh my God, this guy's gonna be great. And then he loses his command and he starts looking like he's sort of laboring a little bit out of the stretch and gives up a few runs and then kind of pulls it back together. I don't know, there's some kind of hill for him to climb where it's not physical necessarily, but he always seems to kind of blow a tire somewhere in the middle of an outing. And just lose his command for a while, and it was kind of like that. But he and Matt Boyd both kind of pitched the same way. Like they were awesome, and then each had one inning where the Blue Jays kind of just racked up a bunch of line drive hits in a row, scored 3 runs apiece. But either way, still pretty promising. Boyd struck out 10, basically looked awesome, except for like 4 batters in a row in I think the 5th inning. So that was all pretty good. The starting rotation has looked, pretty solid for the most part.
Yeah. What do you think so far about Daniel Norris out of the bullpen?
I mean, he pitched okay. I think he got like an inning and 2/3 that one game and didn't give up any runs. Wasn't exactly like lighting it up with the command, was kind of all over the place a little bit, at least just in the
Yeah,
early
I noticed
going.
that too.
Yeah, like it got better as he went along, but the first couple batters, he was pretty wild. Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know what they're going to do there. We didn't see him when the Tigers, were in a tight game or looked like they were, or had a lead because we haven't really been in that situation. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to know like how they're planning on using him there exactly. But yeah, I mean, it still feels like he's got to go and stretch out to be a starter to me. I don't know. You look at the Toledo Mudhens starting pitching, and the guys who you'd most be interested in are like, Kyle Funkhauser, Bo Burrows. Both of those guys are coming up from Double A, and it just seems like it'd be too much too soon to call one of those two up to the majors if we
Yeah.
need a start. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what Mr. Gardenhire thinks about that. Who else looked good? Reed Garrett looked pretty good, I thought. Stuff is really good when he's locating. He looks pretty darn sharp, and of course the Blaine has looked pretty solid as well.
Yeah. Let's never forget about Blaine Hardy, although it feels like sometimes they do.
Yeah, they certainly do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Blaine's looked good enough to start again. You know, like he's not throwing that hard. Like I think his fastball tapped out at 89, but was still throwing a really good changeup. Still has the curveball and the slider that he came on with last year. So I don't know. He's probably going to be the forgotten man, just kind of picking up whatever duty comes his way. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a start or two again this year.
Yeah, and I think that it's nice that they do have that option there, because he has definitely proven that he's capable of it. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him pick up even as many as 5 starts this season, depending on what the health of the regular starting rotation looks like.
Yeah, doesn't it just feel like if Blaine Hardy was on the Rays, like, he would get more attention, like, he'd be more appreciated, but because we have such a traditional setup here that it's like, oh, he's just the long man spot starter guy, we hate him.
Yeah, he would be the team's Ryan Yarbrough. He would be like the Yonny Chirinos, where, you know, you can get a spot start out of him, or you can pair him with a Ryan Stanek and then have him go 5 innings after the opener is played. Yeah, Blaine Hardy would make a ton of sense for the Rays.
Yeah, yeah, he'd be a perfect fit down there. So, really, the two guys who've been a little bit shaky have been Shane Green and Joe Jimenez a little bit. Like, nothing major, but haven't exactly looked great, although Joe looked good tonight and, like, snared a comebacker and ran over to first base, like, refused to flip it.
Tagged out on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Very impressive.
And, like, jumped on the base to double off Luke Voit, so that was pretty funny. That was a good moment. Yeah, I mean, everybody's looked fine. You know, it's real easy for us to get crazy and start making ludicrous assessments based on a couple games, but we won't do that. But yeah, it'd be real nice to take this series with the Yankees and then come back home. I mean, the Tigers are 3-3 right now. If they could go to 4-3 and come home against the Royals, I'd be feeling pretty good about things. Because, yeah, the Royals don't look very good. White Sox, nah, still not looking very good. So, yeah, we could take these people down. The Indians don't look good at all, actually, other than the starting pitching,
Twins,
which still looks
however,
great.
Look surprisingly competent right now.
Yeah, they do. Yep. Yeah, we may have underappreciated how much the Twins did for themselves this offseason.
I said that the Twins would play the offseason into a winning division, because the Indians didn't do nearly enough to secure themselves that position.
Yeah, I still kind of feel like the Twins don't have enough pitching, but getting Marwin Gonzalez and then, you know, picking up Nelson Cruz, like, I don't know, they're looking kind of tough there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could still go out and pick up Dallas Keuchel if they think they have a shot.
Yeah, somebody could. Yeah. It sounds like the Padres, you know, are still thinking about getting a starter,
yeah,
and it just seems like that's a good fit.
They wanted to pick up, they're talking a trade with Marcus Stroman, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting, yeah. I don't really know what the Blue Jays sort of plan there is, because they've got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette coming, but it kind of feels like they're willing to sell everyone off. Like, they traded Kevin Pillar for a couple of spare parts to the San Francisco Giants, who look atrocious this year so far. But yeah, it kind of feels like everybody's for sale, so you wonder if, like, yeah, Justin Smoke, I don't know, maybe they won't trade Aaron Sanchez because he's still a little bit younger, but yeah, I was surprised to hear Marcus Stroman in trade talks. We need to get in on that.
It feels so early for this thing. Do you think it's like an accelerated thing because of there only being the one July trade deadline now? Do you think it's like, we're seeing all of these extensions because of how messed up free agency is, and now all of these teams are doing really early trading. Like, we're talking first week of the season making these trades. It seems strange.
Yeah, it's like the offseason took so long to kind of kick into gear that it won't end. Like, we're still seeing extensions getting signed. Like, Ronald Acuna Jr. just signed today, I believe it was, for like $100 million for 6 or 7 years. Kind of,
I think,
probably
it's 7, because it doesn't count this year.
Yeah,
or does towards the numbers or something.
Yeah, and it still seemed like you know, he was kind of taking less than he could probably get. But yeah, seeing that and seeing the trades and the extensions just keep coming.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's been odd. It really has.
Because apparently they were saying Randall Grichuk.
Yeah,
say his name for the Jays is on the verge of signing an extension there.
Yeah, and they're offering like $52 million. I think they were talking like 5 or 6 years. I wasn't sure on the term. But man, if Randal Grichuk can get that much, then you would all of a sudden think, oh, well, Nicholas Castellanos can probably get like 70 or 80 million, but I don't know. I'm just not sure.
He can't get anything if it's not offered.
So. Yeah, it's true. I tweeted this out like late last night that Nick Castellanos was at plus one defensive run saved as of going into today's game, and I don't think he hurt himself there. But we're gonna keep a close eye on the Nick Castellanos defensive run saved statistic and adjust his price accordingly throughout the season, and have like a little stock ticker based on his defensive WAR.
Interesting.
Yeah,
his value going up and down.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's just, I wish it would be nice if some of those defensive stats, which are still kind of sketchy and coming along, it'd just be nice if you could kind of break them down to see, like, all right, was Nick, like, really bad in the first half last year and got better? Because that's kind of my perception, but there's just no way to really prove it. So I figured, like, yeah, every once in a while, I'm going to start checking in and seeing what the hell's going on here.
Well, let me know what you find. He hasn't looked that bad so far this year. He's made some fairly impressive catches in the outfield, so
yeah, he's run a few balls down at the line, and yeah he looks more comfortable. He's probably not ever going to be like good out there. Meanwhile, it was Mikey Matuk who was kind of butchering things, and then Kristen Stewart yesterday had a liner that one hopped like right over his shoulder basically and went to the wall. that wasn't so good, although Kristen Stewart's actually looked okay other than that. Like, I haven't been shook, let's put it that way.
Yeah. As the kids would say.
As the niños would put it, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Overall, it's we probably can't expect too much more than this. It hasn't been very exciting. Miguel Cabrera's been kind of oddly passive so far, like taking a lot of pitches and has struck out quite a few times, although he's racked up his hits as well. But it kind of looks like he's still kind of feeling his way through. And Kristen Stewart, too, had that big first home run and has had a hit or two since then. And has drawn some walks, so you can kind of see the plate discipline. But he's kind of looked overmatched a little bit with some of the major league pitchers that he's seen. So we'll just have to see how he can do. But yeah, the extension thing. Yeah, the extension thing has just been super weird.
So much of it, it's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, that
Acuna deal is certainly a team friendly deal. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's very strange.
I know. You kind of look at like Fernando Tatis Jr. out in San Diego. Like, are they just gonna extend him now? Like, what's gonna happen? Or did they already? He might have already been one of the ones that got it. I don't even know. I gotta look him up now.
He might have been, actually. I think we talked about this last week.
Oh no. Nope. Nothing yet. No talks yet. But there's like four articles speculating about it because everyone's like, oh yeah, this has gotta happen. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So nothing yet, but yeah, it does sound like everyone's just sitting there like, when are you gonna do that? So I just looked at Twitter, and it looks like I have 10 notifications, and I trolled a Yankees fan earlier, so I'm not even going to look.
Well, you're going to be in so much trouble now.
Yep. You know, there's nothing good that can come that way. So, let's see. So, yeah, we got Mr. Boyd going tomorrow. When are your plans to kind of first see a game? Are you planning on going to see the Twins again this year? I know we were talking about the Reds, but
full road trip planned, so I will be seeing the Tigers in Kansas City. That's going to be my only Tigers experience this year. But I'm going to do the Tigers in Kansas City, going to hit up a Cardinals game in St. Louis. How do they prefer that? I can never remember.
I think they prefer St. Louis. Yeah, I think.
Louis?
I've only been there once, and honestly, it was kind of a boring town, honestly. Like, it just seemed like everything closed early. It was like Kansas City. Maybe I haven't been back in a while.
Kansas City.
Okay, maybe Kansas City's gotten better, but I was there like 15 years ago, and it just seemed like everything closed at 10 on like a Thursday.
Kansas City is like the nicest people you will ever meet in your entire life, and delicious food, and it's just such a great town. And the baseball stadium is really nice.
Oh, Auburn's yeah.
It's a great experience.
Yeah, I would like to go there for that, yeah.
So, yeah, doing that. St. Louis, Cincinnati. I'm going to Chicago, but I'm not going to any games because I have been to both Chicago stadiums already before people get mad at me. I've been to both on multiple occasions. And I would kind of like to just do Chicago tourist style and go eat my Chicago dogs and go to the museums and all of that stuff.
So, oh, yeah.
I'm just going to spend a couple days there. And then we're going to end up in Minneapolis on the way back home. And so we'll go to a Twins game while we're there.
Ah, right on. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, I don't know if it works out. Hopefully I can catch you guys in Cincinnati because I would like to go pay tribute to the Puig.
You should plan. Cam was talking about coming. Cameron, who writes for our blog, was talking about coming down as well. We should try to coordinate.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'd be up for road tripping with Cameron. That'd be fun. Yeah, and I haven't been back to Chicago in a while, but I lived in Chicago and in the suburbs when I was like between 16 and 20, and I love that city. I don't know, there've been a couple times where like me and friends just like walked the city, like just walked, you know, from one end to the other, you know, from east to west, from the parks to the museum to Shedd Aquarium, and just up and down. It's just a really fun place to be for sure. So many good restaurants there.
Yeah, I've been 3 or 4 times, enough that I have like favorite places and like stuff that I love to do when I'm there. And yeah, I'm really just excited to kind of go and explore it and like have my favorite hot dog, like I was saying, go to like, you know, Anthony Bourdain's favorite,
Italian
meat sandwich shop. And yeah, I'm really excited to kind of, I haven't been to Shedd since the first time I went. So do Shedd, do the museum, do all that. Cause you can get those city passes.
Yeah.
Doing touristy stuff. City pass is the way to go.
Yep.
Cause you can like pick up and it gives you admission to the museum, to the aquarium, to the sky deck, to all of that touristy stuff.
Yeah. The natural history museum is awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you get to, I think Sue was gone, but now she's back out on display again, I think.
Oh, is she?
If you aren't from Chicago or don't know Chicago, Sue is their Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton. She's quite famous.
Yeah, one of the few complete ones that they found. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least reconstructed.
Taken her down, I think, for some repair or something like that. And so she's back, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Chicago, it's a good town. Although, you know, I love me some Detroit as well. But yeah, Chicago, I don't know. I just have a special affinity for some reason. Because I'm not there that often. Whenever I'm in Chicago, I'm stoked. So, yep, that should be a good time. But yeah, I would like to go to Cincinnati and meet up with you guys there. That'd be fun. Need to see Votto and Puig in person.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about this because Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies rolled into Washington tonight and put an absolute whooping on Max Scherzer. And Bryce Harper got booed like you rarely see anybody get booed in his first at bat, and it was hilarious. But what did you think of the Washington fans' reaction, considering like some of the news that's come out about the learner's process in terms of offering a deal to him?
You know what? It's funny because they've been posting pictures for the last week or so of people like having cut his name off the back of jerseys or like putting a big No Harper on the back of their jerseys that they paid $300 for.
Ugh.
And I'm like, you guys, I get it. He's gone to a different team and it's still in the NL. And I know you're bummed about it, but like, you know what? I know that there's a sadness when somebody leaves your team and it feels like they're kind of betraying you. Like there was a sadness for me when Verlander left, which I know was a trade,
yeah,
and not him leaving in free agency, which I suspect he never would have done. But like there's part of you that gets sad and upset and you have to vocalize that somehow. But at the same time, the Nats didn't offer him as much as other teams did. And it's a business.
Yeah.
And he's going to go to the team that can offer him stability, that can offer him an environment to raise his now growing family. Congrats to the Harpers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, like, he wanted to do something that would let him set up a home for his family in the long term, and Philadelphia gave him that. And, I mean, it's pretty hard to be mad about somebody making the right choice for their life. And, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to be... I mean, he was, what, offered $300 million for 10 years in Washington?
Yeah.
So absurd.
Well, yeah, but there was also... it was so much weirdness to that deal. Like, there were, you know, it was... Just, some of the money was deferred until, like, you know, the second half of the century. And they gave him that deal.
Oh, that's weird.
They called him back during a rain delay late in the season and called him into the manager's office, and the learners were all there, and they handed him an envelope and were like, hey, you know, Bryce, here's our offer or whatever. And he's like, you know, I'm in the middle of playing a game. And they're like, well, you're going to open it? And he's like, well, I mean, I'll open it once I know that the game is over. And, you know, like, I'm Bryce Harper, for God's sakes. I'm a gamer. You guys know this about me. I'm not just going to think about this. And so it was just a really weird way to give a guy an offer. Like, they thought they were just going to kind of surprise him with it and that he would just be like, oh, $300 million, that's amazing, and just kind of say yes. It all felt like a little bit sketchy, and then they didn't sort of check back in with him. I don't know. So it's just another one of those things where, you know, fans get mad at the player rather than their ownership. I don't know. I mean, their ownership may have made the right decision overall. I mean, they've got Victor Robles out there looking great already. Like, they probably didn't need to spend that money on him. But yeah, it's just weird to see people being mad about it. And at the same time, I kind of love, I there's just a part of me that just loves it when people get all salty about baseball and are just like mad crybabies about things. It kind of amuses me. And I also like the passion, so it's
I
fine.
love grueling.
Yeah, it
I
just
kind of do get a
depends.
kick out of it. But it also is kind of really enjoyable to see somebody trample their previous team. Like, I still to this day think of Ian Kinsler hitting a home run against the Rangers
Oh, yeah.
in Arlington right after he joined the Tigers and waving to the bullpen.
Yep.
Not to the bullpen, but to the dugout. And I just
Yep, going
cannot
down
wait.
first base. And, you know, Ian Kinsler always kind of had the wings as he ran around the bases, too. And it was just that little subtle way of like, hey, boys. I did love that. God,
It was so
I
good.
miss me some Ian Kinsler.
I miss Ian Kinsler.
Yeah. I was happy to see him. He hit a home run already, and has been playing a decent amount. So he's in a good spot out there, with the Padres. And, you know, that's all you can ask for when you catch and release them to the wild, that they find a good home.
They find a good
I
home.
guess he won a World Series ring last year, so I guess I should stop worrying about Ian Kinsler at this point.
Yeah, he's doing okay. He doesn't need us.
Yep, I think he's all right. I do notice that Mr. Snell came out and struck out 13 today over the Rockies.
13.
13, yep.
Then the Rays are doing pretty well for themselves right now.
Yeah, the Rays are a little bit scary. Like, I kept thinking, like, oh, they need that one more bat. And Rays fans, you know, like, if you. One piece of advice I will give everyone is do not argue with a Rays fan on Twitter, because they will be like the smartest baseball fan that you ever, like, you know, kind of absentmindedly stumbled into a conversation with, and suddenly find yourself being schooled and like charts being posted, you know, against you and stuff. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful out there, because like being a Rays fan is a, you know, it's a form of dedication and suffering and
We have
scholarship.
developed thick skins.
Yep.
Very thick. Especially, I think Florida-based Rays fans get, especially like, you know, season ticket holding Rays fans who've had to deal with the jokes about the attendance and all of that. It's a tough fan base.
It is. And there's no
But
tolerance for fools either, you know, or nostalgia. They don't want to hear any
we
nostalgia
joked.
or traditionalism, any of that kind of crap.
We joked after the Rays lost their first game of the season. We're like, well, last year they won the first game and then lost to the next seven. So maybe this year they'll just switch the re and do the reverse. And we were kidding, but it's pretty impressive that we are doing exactly that.
Yep.
So I'm not going to complain. It makes me happy.
No, I love I kind of love the Rays, and you know, apart from your owner, and I love the fan base, because yeah, I have a good time talking to Rays fans in general, and there's a lot of smart ones out there. But yes, I learned that at my peril, like my first season. Like, this is season five of covering baseball, and I do remember like that first season, like running into like Sandy Kazmir and like some of those other dudes, and just being like, just saying something smart ass. I know, but just saying something smart ass and just getting like just schooled and like, oh, this is how it is over in Rays land. Better be careful.
I was blocked by Sandy and remain blocked to this day because I had the audacity of being a Detroit Tigers fan and speaking about the Rays in any context. And the funniest part about it is that, like, the thing he got mad at me for was me suggesting that maybe Brent Honeywell was not as major league ready for that season as people were hoping, and that the pitching coaches in Durham might have seen something to suggest they should continue to hold him back for that season. And I was told that I had no authority to speak about the Rays. I was already writing for DRB, but whatever. And he blocked me.
Oh, wow. And this is
And the
like
funniest
2 years
part about
ago,
it
wasn't
is
it?
This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then almost less than 6 months after that discussion, Brent Honeywell needed Tommy John surgery. And I was the deputy editor of that website. So come at me and tell me I don't have the authority to talk about that team. Thank you.
That's great. Ah, yes. Oh, I see. Michael Fomer has posted something on Twitter saying, can we get a video of Joe Jimenez jumping on first base like a four-year-old playing his first T-ball game after he got that out, that double play? That's great. And Joe Jimenez replied, yep.
Can we? Because that would be amazing.
I think we do have it, yep. Joe Jimenez says, yes, like a little kid, bro. Sorry. With a shrug.
So cute.
Yeah, that's good. Joe is kind of cute for such a giant, hulking, hard-throwing figure. He seems like
he's
a sweetheart.
He's got a baby face.
He kind of does. Like, Emily Walden's always kind of told me that Joe's just a sweetheart. So, yeah, he's got that going for him. all right, I'm just trying to peek around the league and see if anybody else did anything crazy. Like, Justin Verlander had kind of a rough night, but the Astros looked fine. I kind of figured that Blake Snell came back and pitched great, and tonight Verlander struggled a little bit. Yeah, Scherzer struggled. All the aces having their...
Apparently that home run, one of the home runs that Harper hit tonight was 458 feet.
Oh, jeez. Wow, really?
What a monster. Oh, my God.
Oh, off Jeremy Hellickson. Oh, wow, yeah. You know, he crushed one the other day, too, that was just a monster shot. Yeah, so he must have... Oh, my God. I almost want to play that, but it would come right through my headphones. But I would like to see how he celebrated that one, because that must have been sweet. That must have been one of the sweetest home runs he's ever hit after getting booed like that. Oh, that's delicious.
He feeds off it. Are you kidding me? Harper lives for that stuff.
He does. I mean, he's Captain Old School, and I love it.
Be the heel a little bit, and I think that he really does well when people are kind of against him.
Yeah, and you know, Washington's not really that way. I kind of think he's perfect as a Philly. Like, and I kind of think Gabe Kapler too, like those, you know, that bro culture, that like intense, we're gonna work out harder than everybody else and train harder, you know, and just and go after everybody and be angry and super intense all the time. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see kind of who doesn't fit, like, in the culture of the Phillies going forward, because that's definitely the sort of personality of that team right now, and it really suits Philadelphia. Like, oh my God, they're going to be insufferable. It's going to be great. I love it.
Kind of delightful.
Yeah, I do kind of love that whole
thing. None of my teams have to play them on a regular basis. So. Yeah,
I am stoked though that the Tigers are going to be out in the National League East quite a bit this year. Like, so we'll be playing the Phillies, we'll be playing the Mets. Is it Flushing? I don't want to get this wrong, because I know Adam was just dogging someone for saying it was Queens, and it's not Queens. It is Queens. I think...
Because Flushing's in Queens.
Yeah, that's right. It's not... Somebody said it was in Brooklyn. That's where it went wrong. Yeah, it is in Queens. But yeah, so we'll be out there. We'll be playing the Phillies. I think we're playing the Nationals. Yeah, I know.
It's Queens and the Bronx are where the teams play, my understanding.
You are correct. Yep. The Yankees are in the Bronx. Yes. Up in AOC territory.
The Bronx Bombers, you know, so.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, Bryce is bowing at this point, too, to everyone. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. I love the trolling. Get him.
He needs to take off his helmet and hair flip some more.
Yep, for sure. Oh, you know he will. Yep. I'm trying to think if there's... Oh, okay, wait. I had one more thing I wanted to talk about in particular. David Hess. Rookie starter for the Baltimore Orioles, who took a no-hitter into the seventh inning last night, and at 82 pitches was pulled from the game. And man, that's painful.
Oh!
Yeah.
Why?
I cannot understand why they do that. Especially, like, I mean, once in a...
pitches? No. Like, I mean, you do it if you've lost the no-no, if, you know, you've got a taxed bullpen, I don't know, but like, oh man, don't do that. Let the guy finish the game.
It's just such a rare opportunity, and, you know, they're not going to win anything anyway, so it's not like they couldn't have just given them, you know, like, the next start off or something like that. Like, you know, I know there was still three innings to go, so you probably figure he's got another, you know, 45, 50 pitches to get there. which isn't really that feasible, but it just feels like you're never going to see a no-hitter again unless it's like Justin Verlander or, you know, someone who's known to go deep in games or just gets lucky enough to pitch to contact and have a whole bunch of, you know, really quick innings. And that's frustrating. It's frustrating to see that would just, like, go away. Like, would Buck Showalter do that to somebody? I don't think so. Maybe he would.
No. I don't know, but man, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta give the guy the shot. Like, you know it's probably not gonna last. Like, he's probably gonna give up a single or something, and then, bam, you can get him out of there. But
then pull him.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate that.
Wait until he gives up the run. Oh, my God.
I know, I hate that so much.
Makes me so mad.
Who did they do that to on the, was it Ross Stripling on the Dodgers? They had the same thing, like, maybe two seasons ago, I think it was. He, they pulled him because they just didn't want him to go deep in the game, even though he's throwing a no-no and it just loses their mind. Ah, yeah, that's so frustrating.
Just let it happen. It's not like you guys are going to do anything else worth watching this year.
I know. Like, you know.
Ooh, snap. Sorry, Baltimore fans.
Sorry, Baltimore fans. But, yeah, it's like, you know, we don't need them for the stretch drive. Like, for God's sakes. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's not like they tend to use their relief pitchers when they need them anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Oh, Zach Britton, how's it going there, buddy?
Isn't he in New York now?
Yeah, he's a Yankee too. Like every reliever you heard of 3 or 4 years ago is the best. It seems like they're all there except for like Andrew Miller maybe or something. So, yeah.
Thank God though, because I still can like Andrew Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to get him out of Cleveland too because he really annoyed me kind of there as well. But at least he was allowed to grow his beard back, which helps. I mean, that helps.
he's so good. He was so good at the peak of his, you know, his skill. I think he still got that in him. But, man, no one could paint the corners of a strike zone like Andrew Miller.
Yeah, and just from, you know, it was like Chris Sale with longer arms, like the damn thing coming from, like, so far outside on guys, that slider just, like, cutting, like, 4 or 5 feet across in front of him. Yeah, he was tough. He was super tough when he was looking his best. So hopefully, and they used him a lot. They used Cody Allen a lot. So maybe those guys just kind of need a year to kind of chill instead of pitching, you know, 80 innings and going to the postseason every year and kind of take a toll.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. What's the haps with the YouTube channel before we get out of here?
I am currently in the process of uploading Thursday's video, which will be on baseball standings and explaining how games back are calculated. Because I had a special request for that on my Twitter feed. Mm. So if you guys ever want a video, just ask me on Twitter, because I do listen. So I'm explaining that and, like, the magic number and all that. And it's only, like, an 8-minute video. I try to make them all pretty quick and to the point. So that's going to be on Thursday. And then I did just post a query on there, because I'm thinking of going to 3 days a week. And making Saturdays kind of specific for my lingo learning segments, which are only like 3 to 5 minutes each, and having that be kind of a specific for the Saturdays option. So you can kind of get a little thing, like Toot Bland is going to be the first one.
Oh, yeah.
In my lingo learning series. And then I'm going to just go through and explain things like weird one-off phrases that you'll hear in games.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I think I'm going to start adding Saturday videos, possibly as soon as next week.
Nice. So you kind of hit a groove here where, like, the production's going faster and it's a little quicker for you.
Yeah, and then I don't want to, like, have the regular videos fall too far behind because I posted a 3-minute video about a word. So I think having those lingo lesson sessions on the Saturdays is a way to kind of go through the ones that I'm going, because I am building quite a back catalog already.
Yeah, which is awesome, yeah.
Which is great, absolutely, because especially if I have a 2.5-week vacation coming up in July, I want to be prepared for that. But yeah, so there may be 3 videos a week starting next week.
Awesome. Yeah, everybody really should check it out. The channel is super cool. The last one that came out, Baseball Free Agency Arbitration, and was it and contracts, I think it was. That one was super good. Yeah.
Contract extensions.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of good info on those. Yeah, for sure.
And it's very good to watch them because I do tend to make fun of myself a fair bit. Like, there's just definitely pop-ups, especially in this one, because the contract and free agency one was filmed before my cat knocked over all my bowls. Fools. It was filmed before the Trout extension. So there's definitely videos in there, little clips in there of me like talking about how Bryce Harper's contract was so big and unimaginable to top it and blah, blah, blah. And then there's just captions in there that go, oh, sweet, innocent past Ashley. And then I popped in a video clip from future Ashley explaining the Harper, the Trout deal. So... I do like to make fun of myself as I'm editing these, so there are little tidbits in there to watch for, like how I forgot the term qualifying offer twice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where my brain was, because I know what a qualifying offer is, but instead I'm like, arbitration settlement offer, and I'm like, no, girl, that's not what you meant, but...
There is so much to it, though. Like, I still need, like, Patrick O'Kennedy to kind of show up once in a while and set me straight on a few things, because, God, the rules are complex. Of the, yeah, you know, the business part of the game is really complicated.
It's a lot, for yep. sure.
Sure enough. Okay. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Kind of a quick episode. Yeah. I need to go eat something. Maybe tacos. I don't know.
Tacos! Tacos for everyone. Taco Tuesday. Sorry. There might be a little tequila in Ashley right now. They're not making me drunk. It's just making me really happy, apparently.
Everything is great. Yeah, that's the perfect.
Margarita.
That's the perfect amount. Yep, that's the perfect amount.
Apparently, one double marg is all I need for joy in my life.
All right, everybody, thanks a lot for joining us. We're gonna have a bunch of coverage of the farm system coming up this week because the minor league season will kick off at least for the Toledo Mudhens on Thursday against the Louisville Bats, and most of the affiliates will be getting underway. So we'll have some stuff coming out to preview that. All of our normal game coverage will be coming. And yes, definitely please check out Ashley's YouTube channel. I think is it under your name or is it at 90 feet from home there too?
It's short linked now actually because I have more than 100 subscribers.
Yeah.
So the whole, there's a link in my Twitter feed, but the actual thing is YouTube / channel / Ashley McLennan 90 feet from home. So if you can remember that, all the power to you. But if not, the link is on my YouTube.
All right.
In my Twitter.
Oh, yeah, in your Twitter feed, which is also at 90 feet from home. Oh, wait, I got one dagger from Emma Bacchieri, who I love. Great writer for SportsIllustrated.com. But after Bryce hit that homer and bat flip, she said, "Sucks that the entire city of D.C. has to change their address now to Harperville, but what can you do?" Pretty sure it's in the Constitution that a bat flip like that bestows district naming rights upon the flipper. Yeah, she's a good writer.
Oh, Emma's good.
Yeah, she's a good writer. Alrighty. So yeah, follow Ashley at 90 Feet From Home on Twitter and check out the YouTube channel. Follow me at Fiscodoro74 on Twitter. And I will try to get another short episode up later on this week, maybe Friday or Saturday, and just kind of catch up on what's going on during the week. And with opening day in Comerica and all the festive joy and wonder that will no doubt take place on Thursday. And you can look for that. And we will be back next week. Ashley, have a good night.
You too.
See you.